In today's episode, I'm sitting down with my friend Greg Denning, who is absolutely one of my favorite people to talk to, not only because he has overcome so much in his own personal journey through life, but he is so well read and he has so much energy. Today we're talking about success in marriage and family life. We are talking about his extraordinary family life formula and the most important factors he has found to success in any area of your life. So without further ado, please enjoy my interview with Greg Denning of Extraordinary Family Life. Hello, and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm super excited about my guest today. He is a world school dad of 7 kids, husband of Rachel. He and his wife, Rachel, gave an amazing presentation for the Epic Marriage Summit, so he might be familiar to you. He is a high-performance coach and has some incredible insight into how to get motivated and how to keep those resolutions that you made. We're going to talk about that today. Please help me welcome my guest, Greg Denning. How are you doing, Greg?
Oh, fantastic. And I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for letting me have this opportunity.
Yay, hooray. Well, why don't you start by, for those who don't know, telling us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah, I'd love to. So my wife and I, we got married, and you guys, it's just interesting. Sometimes I have to stop and even this morning, I was like, is this real? Because when we started off, I grew up in a broken home and parents got divorced and stepdads came and went and actually ended up on my own as a teen. And so there was some tough years and I was shy and timid and I was broke and I didn't have any kind of growth mindset or anything. I didn't even get goals, right? I was in this environment. Everyone was just trying to survive. And now, you know, jump ahead, Rachel and I, our big thing is travel. We just love to travel as a family. And so far as a family, we've been in 35 countries. Over a decade now, we've been traveling and we've been really intentional about setting and achieving huge goals that when we first got married, like you couldn't have tempted our wildest dreams with some of the things we've done. We just wouldn't have believed it. But I guess, and that's what I want to share today, is like whatever you can dream and believe in, you can go out and achieve it literally. And I guess I love to share this with audiences when I'm out speaking or coaching, is, man, if I can do it, anyone can do it. And we can really build these extraordinary family lives if we're very intentional and deliberate about making it happen.
I love that so much. And extraordinary family life is your thing. You are a high performance coach and you coach around success and relationships and families. Give us a little bit of your history and how you became so passionate about all of this and how you created such an extraordinary life.
Awesome. So it was in that time period, I was 16 and I was living on my own. It was actually, this time of year, I love it. Well, because we just come through, you know, Christmas and New Year's, and I love the goal setting and the vision, but it reminded me, I was on Christmas Eve, I was 16 years old, and I was living in this really rough part of town. I spent Christmas Eve just sitting there by myself in this rundown room and just alone and desperate and discouraged and frustrated. We didn't even have adequate heat. I was just wrapped up in this blanket, watching my breath condense in the frigid air on Christmas Eve, you know, when there should be big feasts and dinner and family and friends and gifts, and there was nothing. I just sat there by myself. And it was that desperation of that pivotal night. Like, you know what? I'm going to search out and find these secrets to true success and happiness. I don't ever want to be lonely again. That was the worst of all. Of everything I experienced, loneliness is the worst, hands down. But I wanted to have an awesome marriage, extraordinary marriage. I wanted to be that dad, you know, that dad, the extraordinary dad. And I wanted to live a life that every day I woke up excited to, because there were honestly times waking up was worse than being asleep. And maybe some of the people who are listening, you've had days like that where you wake up and you're like, oh no, I just need to get back. I want to go back to sleep. And I had been there. And so I was hungry. I was hungry to know about success and happiness. And so I started studying voraciously. I've averaged about a book a week for over a couple of decades. I'm a learner, curious learner and reader and researcher. And I found it. I did. I found this recipe, this formula for success and happiness, like holistic family happiness. Not I'm going to pursue one area of success to the neglect of my family or to the neglect of my health, but holistic success and happiness. And as I started to make these improvements and get the results, man, my heart just swelled with this desire to share it with everybody. And that, so it really just, I didn't choose this path. It chose me to start sharing this now. And as I continue to do this, I love giving back and helping people achieve their big goals and dreams.
Well, I love that you do all of that. And through all of this, you've created the Extraordinary Family Life Formula. And you talk about having an extraordinary life all the time. Tell us about the Extraordinary Family Life Formula and what it means to have an extraordinary life or an extraordinary marriage.
As Rachel and I started to work on our marriage, we actually went into it because I'd been around so much divorce. We talked about actually before we got married, we're like, hey, we want to have just an awesome marriage. Like, let's really work on this. And of course, we go into it thinking it would be a lot easier than it is. And you get in there, you're like, oh, okay, we gotta learn how to live with another human being and all these differences and all these things. But like, we were both committed. And we literally, but we talked about it and said, let's commit to always work on our marriage and our family. And so we started doing that. And then as our dreams grew together and we started traveling the world, we've had all these experiences with cultures and religions and traditions and families literally across the earth, and working with thousands of people from so many cultures and backgrounds and places, from very poor people to extremely wealthy people to all kinds of backgrounds, I started realizing this formula that's kind of this common denominator for all of us, that we can all have this beautiful dream and it can be really unique for each of us, but there are these common denominators. There's a formula for being really happy and successful. And so it kind of got built together into what we have now packaged as the Extraordinary Family Life Formula that includes working on yourself and then your marriage, your parenting, your lifestyle, and your finances. Those are the big elements of the formula. And then getting into, and it's not real complicated, but we get into our mindset, like what we believe about ourselves and the world, and then what I call our heart set, our emotions and how our emotions are driving our lives, and then, you know, our habits and the things we do day in, day out, which is interesting. A lot of us just kind of go through, we're on autopilot and we're in survival mode. Some of my clients will come and they're like, I feel like I've been in a walking coma for years, right? We're just kind of going through. We actually just started what we call, we have a 28-day challenge we do. And one of the last times we did a challenge, somebody came to us and it was so sweet. She just came with tears and said, I feel like I stopped dreaming. I got caught up in the rat race of life and I was just trudging along, dragging myself through the days. And now with this challenge, I can dream again. And you almost have this awakening, right? To getting life in order where, and I guess I want you guys all to imagine this, like you wake up in the morning to what I call the opportunity clock, right? And you're actually really genuinely excited to be awake, to be alive, to be excited. You're giddy, romantic about your spouse, right? You're just like madly in love again, even after years, and you have a spring in your step. And you're excited about your life and you're driven and to what you're working on. And life is just pure joy instead of drudgery, instead of the turmoil and the stress that it can be so often. But it's like really living, really living.
I love all of that. So like you mentioned, you have spent a ton of time traveling all over the world, working with people and families of all different cultures. Can you talk about some things you've learned from other cultures that would be valuable to us here in the States?
Wow, that's actually a challenging question. We had the privilege to take our family over and work with people who'd been affected by leprosy and live in India, and to see the Indian culture and religion and the people. And they're just wonderful. We had the opportunity to spend 2 years wandering all over Europe, all the countries and places, and oh man, it's heaven over there. We spent several years going through Mexico and Central America. And then we even took our family and we went and lived in Morocco, which is an Islamic country. They speak Arabic as their first language, as French as their second. And we ended up doing a lot of charades because we don't speak either of those languages. But it was incredible. And we've taken our children in. And I guess one of the greatest things that we've learned as a family is the importance of family and how in some cultures they really have it. They've got it just nailed. And it truly is a priority, not just in words, but in action. In fact, just this last summer, I led a trip into Mongolia and we stayed with the nomadic people in their yurts, their gears out in the steppe. And to a Mongol family, family's everything. And they live it and they practice it. It's not, they don't just say it. And it's true in so many great cultures. And when when we can focus on our families like that. And I guess that's the question I would ask all of us is like, is our family really our priority? Are we proving it with our actions and our time and our resources and our attention? It's so easy to get distracted by jobs or stuff or things or running errands or devices or whatever else. It's so easy. We live in the age of distraction. But I think probably the most profound and powerful lesson we've learned is just making family a true priority.
Yeah. And I think what I'm hearing you saying too, is that you've seen family life where people are very, very wealthy down to where they have nothing. And it doesn't change anything about the importance of family.
Exactly. Exactly. We've had the privilege of being in, and I always call this is on sacred ground, where you get invited into a home where it's a shack on a dirt floor. And well, I'll share a story. We were in India and we got invited over to a home of a family. His Christian name is John. I can't pronounce his Indian name. John. He's awesome. He had four kids. And they just counted it as this huge honor to have us over as their guests into their little village. And so we drove out in the middle of nowhere in India. They invited us in their home. And their home was probably 10 feet wide and about 20 feet long. That was their whole home. It was just cinder block rectangle. That's it. And we walk in the front room and you guys, they made a sign. They had their neighbors come over to greet us. It was a big deal. They rolled out the carpet, so to speak. No bathroom. As many people in India, they have no bathroom. And as soon as we got there, my little girl had to go, a little toddler. And I was like, hey, where's the bathroom, John? And he's like, oh, it's out back. And it was just the field. And I was like, oh, I was just humbled. And then I went inside. They had one bed, one queen size bed. And they had a little kitchen area with what we would call a little camping stove. That was it. And that was their world. And they had four teenage kids and mom and dad. And they rolled out this meal. Gosh, I still get emotional. They rolled out a meal for us that I'm guessing must have cost him 2 or 3 weeks of income. And they spread out this beautiful blanket over their bed and they had us sit around the bed and they all stood there on the wall and refused to have a single bite until our entire family had eaten and we were full. And I was so humbled and I wanted to pay for the meal and he refused. It was this honor. He's like, of course not. No. And then he gave my children gifts as we left. And we were blown away by his commitment and love to his family and to generosity and to goodness. And what it did is it just blew away all these ideas that I had about, oh, well, you know, you can be happy if you have these things and you can be generous if you have those things. And if all the conditions are right, then we can be happy and successful. And it just broke all those stories that I told myself and all these ideas that we had along the way and realized that whatever your conditions, whatever your circumstances, you can genuinely build an extraordinary family life.
Yeah, I love shattering that idea that it takes money to create an extraordinary family, because it certainly doesn't. And that story is a beautiful illustration of that. So we're a couple of months into the new year now, and people are starting to lose some of the excitement about their resolutions and goals. What kind of advice do you have for anyone who started off the year with a lot of excitement, some great resolutions, but they've maybe fallen off a little bit and they need some motivation to keep going or to restart? Give us all of your good motivation.
This is where I get fired up. This is where I get going and start making things happen. But I wasn't always like this. Like I would stumble along and I can understand this because, and maybe you can too, I'm sure. And the people listening, like, it's so frustrating because we have these ideals and we want to make changes. We want to hit our goals. And there's one of the things right there. I'll bring that up. We have alarms that go off all the time. I have 7 alarms on my phone. And so I'll just share this right now as a get-go. I have 7 alarms on my phone go off every single day, reminding me of my goal. And it gets annoying just like that. It interrupts me. It gets annoying. My kids are like, turn off your alarms, Dad. But my alarms literally are reminding me of who I want to be and how I want to go. That jumped in advance there. But I wasn't always like that. I would get so frustrated because I wanted to make changes. I wanted to be a better person. And weeks and months would pass. And I look back and I'm like, darn it. I'm not doing what I want to do. And statistically, by February 1st, most people have broken their New Year's commitments. And by March, many people have forgotten what they committed to. And so what I want to say is, like, we're not guilt tripping anybody here. Like, I want you to know you can do this. And if you've dropped the ball, okay, whatever. We can pick it back up. We can get going. Like, I want to have this be the most encouraging message that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, even if you've stopped working on your New Year's commitment, you actually restart at any second. In fact, every moment, every day is a chance to start again. And whatever's happened, I'd love to say say that failure is fertilizer. It really is. And we fall down, we fail, we just get back up and we get going and get back into it. But let me give a couple strategies that just work. Number one, I already shared, set some alarms and set alerts. Have things in front of you all the time that remind you of, well, there's three things that people are really clear about. High achievers. So I do a lot of high performance coaching. In fact, I do coaching all the time. The other most powerful strategy that I've been using for years and that I teach to my other clients is something I came across years ago. I was actually being interviewed like this with a sports psychologist. This is the coolest thing here. He is the psychologist for the most elite military forces in the world. Okay, now think about that. The Navy SEALs, the Army Rangers, these guys are the toughest of the tough. And it's all mental toughness. They have to be on it mentally, right? And so he and I were talking and I'm like, what's the most powerful thing? And we're going through this. And he says, look, he says, you just do one thing, rewrite your major goal every day. Handwritten, literally rewrite your major goal every single day. And he says, only one of two things will happen. You'll either stop writing your goal or you'll achieve. And I was blown away. Like, yes, it's so simple. It's so elementary. And yet there's unbelievable power there that if we'll focus on every single morning. So I've got my notebook right here on my desk. And every morning I sit down and I rewrite my top goals. It doesn't take me more than 15 seconds to rewrite a few top goals. But what it does is it cements us inside of our head and our mind and our day, like, what am I working on? I love this. So set the alarms, rewrite your goals. And if you've already forgotten your goals or you're struggling with them or you failed, I know some of you have been trying to work on a goal for months or even years and you're feeling pretty defeated. I've been there too. Maybe you're trying to lose some weight. Maybe you're trying to shift the marriage. Maybe you're trying to hit some financial goals. And just by doing these simple things, you can reset and you can keep going. You can get up, dust yourself off and get back in the game and keep making it happen. Let me give another kind of principle here and package. I like to teach this idea that we haven't really committed to a goal unless we have a coach, a community, and a challenge, right? Because a lot of us will be like, yeah, I'm doing this and I'm in, but we set up systems where our systems kind of are like self-sabotage and the systems we have going on like prevent us from reaching our goal. And I said, you know, we're actually really truly committed when we have a coach, somebody there to guide us along, to help us, to point out our blind spots, our mistakes, someone to hold us accountable, a community that cheers us on, be a part of a group that's really encouraging, because a lot of us are surrounded by people that are trying to tear us down. I'm sure you've had this too, Monica. I'm sure, like, hey, I think I'm going to do this big goal. I'm going to host a summit. And I guarantee some of your family, friends, whatever, like, what are you thinking? Right? We just have this constant flow of like negative thinking comes around us. And then, so get a coach, get a community, and make sure you have a challenge. And a challenge comes in with having a timeline, having a deadline, having some kind of tracking system, like, hey, in the next 3 weeks, in the next 6 weeks, in the next 12 weeks, I'm going to hit this and I'm going to hit it hard. I'm going to track every day and I'm going to have a challenge here. And I've got some skin in the game where I'm going to make this happen. And so those are just three quick kind of principles and practices that will help get back in it. I just want to, like, wherever you're at, I just want to encourage you, like, you got this, get back in, get excited. Never underestimate what you can do in even just as short as 12 weeks. I've literally seen people completely transform their lives in 12 weeks, financially, fitness, marriage. I've seen people drop horrible habits and addictions, from alcohol to pornography, drop them and change. And so, man, there's hope. There is hope. And we ought to just keep plugging along and get help and encouragement. And you can hit big goals and make massive transformation.
You know what's incredible about the simplicity of just writing your goal each day is that, I talk about this a lot, is that your brain, its whole like job is to solve problems. And if you just let it go on autopilot, it will solve all kinds of problems that aren't really problems for you. And I hadn't thought about this before, but when you said that, write your goals every day, you're in essence giving your brain a really good problem to solve every day. You're saying, here is my goal. This is what I want to accomplish. And then it's amazing how you will find throughout the day all different ways to be successful, because your brain is solving that problem. It's working on it because you brought it to the forefront and you said, good morning, brain. Here's what I'd like to work on today.
Exactly. Oh, Monica, you nailed that. Because most of us allow our minds to go to work on our fears instead of directing our minds to go to work on our future. And so the way you just said that was just perfect. You're exactly right. Every morning you say, okay, brain, okay, subconscious, okay, life, like, this is my goal. What's going to happen today? What can I do? What little step, these baby steps, can I start creating momentum in my life?
And, oh, that gets me all
excited.
Isn't that awesome? Me too. I'm fired up. I'm like, we need some more goals.
Okay. So you talked about a lot of things, but talk about some of the benefits of keeping commitments to yourself. So like what happens when you make a goal on January 1st and then you just let it slide versus you make a goal on January 1st, you write it down every day and then you accomplish that goal. Like what does that do for us?
Man, I'm so glad you asked this one because this is huge. It's far bigger than most of us think. And here's why. If I make a commitment to myself and then I don't keep it, even little things, like here's one, right? You set an alarm and even hitting the snooze button is breaking a commitment first thing in the morning. And it's not a big deal, right? You always hit it, but you've already broken you come to consciousness and you break a commitment to yourself. And then, you know, we do these little things. But what happens is every single time that you and I or any of us live below what we're capable of, or we break a commitment to ourselves, it undermines our self-esteem and our self-confidence. And it's so subtle, but we start to not be able to trust ourselves. And then if we can't trust ourselves, we don't trust others. So all of a sudden, these little commitments you're talking about, like I'm going through life and I'm feeling really insecure about myself. I'm lacking confidence and drive to show up for my spouse, for my kids, to show up at work and life. And I'm just, I don't know why. And I'm struggling and I kind of don't like myself and I'm really hurting. And it all comes down to making and keeping commitments to myself. The opposite of that is true, where I make a small commitment and I just hold to it. In fact, the way I like to teach the word commitment is we only commit to a few things because when we commit, our integrity is on the line. So when I commit to something, my integrity is on the line. I will show up. Like I'm going to be there because it's me. It's my integrity, right? So when you commit to something and you keep that commitment to yourself, it automatically builds self-esteem, self-confidence, self-worth, and you can roll your shoulders back, lift up your chest a little, put a big smile on your face, and it actually generates energy and drive and momentum and gives you power to get things done. So far, far bigger than most of us think. What you just said there, that question you ask of making and keeping small commitments to ourselves, it literally is a determining factor in the quality and outcome of our lives.
I think you're right. So let's talk about success for a little while, because I feel like that's such an ambiguous term. But what does success even mean? And then let's talk about how to achieve success, because I know that's part of your life's work is to help people be successful. But what does that mean to you?
Yeah, this one's a hard one, especially as you get around a certain group of people and you start discussing success and we're like, yeah, we got a common definition. But then you pick yourself up and you go over to a totally different demographic of people and they will define it in a completely different way. Then you start jumping cultures and countries and traditions and wow, what is success? And I love this idea that success is, it's pursuing something that is fulfilling and meaningful. It's getting to the end of our lives and asking, did I really live? And did I live a good life? And did I do things that really matter? Leo Tolstoy wrote a book called The Death of Ivan Illich. And he illustrates this in there that Ivan was going through the motions. He was checking off all the boxes of like social conditioning. Everything he did was to please the crowd, right? And they loved him for it. And he was doing all these things, the right car, the right house, the right clothes. He was doing everything really for the opinions of other people, checking off the boxes, going through the motions. And he's up putting up a decoration in his house to try to please his guests. He falls and he injures himself mortally. And he ends up dying on an early death bed, right? And he's laying there in agony as he's dying. And right at the end of the book, he screams out in agony, "What if my whole life has been wrong?" Like, whoa, right? And the whole message of this book is like, don't wait till the end of your life to look back and go, what if I did this all wrong? And so your question is super powerful in that, like, each of us has to decide for ourselves, what is success? And at the end of my life, what am I going to be really grateful I did? And then ask ourselves, what do I wish I'd done differently? And start doing that now. Henry David Thoreau said that most men lead lives of quiet desperation and then go to their grave with their song still in them. And that, all that quote just hits me as I travel around the world and meet with people. I think he was right that a lot of us are just kind of trudging along, following the scripts that we've been given. Like society says, oh, you should do this and you should do that. And most of us don't feel like we're actually really living. And so the answer to success is an invitation to all of you to get really clear yourself, like crystal clear. What does it mean to you? What would be most happy? What would make you most happy? What would be most fulfilling? What could you, 100% guarantee, you get to end your life and look back and be like, yes, that was awesome. Instead of, oh no, why didn't I do that? And there's a great book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And this nurse, she'd spent 12 years with patients who were terminally ill. And they all talked about this deathbed clarity. They were looking back on their lives so they could see things differently. Every one of them kind of talked about 5 major things. And it's worth reading and looking into. It's awesome. But the big ones were, I wish I had let myself really live. They talk about things they wish they had done. I wish I'd gone on that trip with my family. I wish I'd invested more in my relationships. None of them said, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. In fact, every single male patient she ever cared for said they wish they had worked less, which is so interesting and insightful. They wish they had just lived more meaningfully, more purposefully. So the big question is, like, what is success? It's living a life. It's chasing down goals and dreams and living a life that's pursuing your potential. Because every one of us has this best self. In fact, I just did a podcast on this last night. I got to share it. We all have our best self, and it's not external to us. It's inside of us. Your best self is in you. And we have to, like, kind of carve it out, like Michelangelo getting the angel out of the stone, right? We have to carve it out. And the most successful and fulfilling thing we can do is to voraciously chase down our potential, to become our best self. So when we get to this imaginary moment where you could see who you could become, that you're looking in the mirror and you did it. Somebody one time described hell as the moment the person you are meets the person you might have been.
Ooh.
Whoa, right? Oh, and that one hits home. But so what is success then? It's just chasing that down and, like, really trying to live up to your full potential. Think about it. Think of the possibilities. If each day we get up and just say, today I'm going to do my best. Just today, I'm going to do my best. What could we achieve? Who could we become? What quality of life and happiness and joy can we live with day in and day out? And it is 100% possible.
Okay, let's flesh out this success. So now that we've sort of defined it in a lot of really powerful ways, let's talk about habits and practices that facilitate success. So if I have listened to this and I'm like, okay, I'm going to start chasing success, what can I implement as habits or practices that's going to help me get there?
Oh, I love it. The cool thing is we can look across, we can study the lives of great men and women, which is what I did. I did this for decades. And as you study their lives, you start seeing the common denominators. And this is what's cool about the recipe and the formula, is you can start putting it together now, and we don't have to rely on other people's opinions. You know, well, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. You can look across the spectrum of history. You can study the lives of the greatest men and women, the greatest thinkers and leaders of all time. And you can say, what are the common denominators? What are the things that we know they do and the things they don't do? And we can put together this short list of the habits that lead to success. Hands down. It's really awesome. Albert Gray wrote this incredible essay called The Common Denominator of Success. And in it, he'd studied successful people for years. And he said, what's the difference? What's the difference between unsuccessful people and successful people? And he says, the common denominator of success is that successful people do the things that unsuccessful people don't want to do. And he says, but here's the surprise. Successful people, they don't want to do them either, but they know they need to be done. So at one point, I guess point number one is we got to have some pig-headed discipline and determination. Just say, okay, if I know I'm going to do this, like, it's getting done. I'm doing that thing. But I'll give two other simple ones that any of us can do every day that will literally change the course of our lives. The way we feed and exercise our bodies and the way we feed and exercise our minds. Because our body is literally our vehicle for life. And everything we experience, we're experiencing through our bodies. And our bodies are literally what we feed them and how we take care of them. We move, right? And so I love to tell people, even if we hate exercise. I know some of you are like, no, don't bring up that word. Like, I hate this. But this is how I have so much energy. I could power a small city. And I've been like this for years because I got really, really intense when I was 17 years old. I was out on my own and I got into exercise and it was my outlet. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this the best I can. And I just started studying. I realized, oh, I should never put these things in my body and I should do these exercises. And so I've done it since then. And so when we feed our bodies really good food and we exercise, we just move our bodies, and you can do it by dancing or cycling or running, whatever you want to do, whatever fun thing you want to do, move your body and eat well, you literally dramatically increase your energy levels. And what I love to ask my clients is, like, what would your life be like if you had 5 to 10 times as much energy as you do now? What could you accomplish? What could you achieve? And those energy levels, most of us are dragging ourselves through the day, right? Most of us are out of energy by the time our kids wake us up in the morning. We stayed up late. We didn't sleep well. We're like, oh no, the kids are already waking me up. And we're just surviving. But if we can take care of our bodies and exercise and feed them well, then we'll have tons of energy, enough energy to go after our goals, enough energy to wrestle with our kids after work, right? And to bring it at work. And instead of giving our relationships leftovers, a lot of marriages struggle because at night they're just barely hanging on, like, hey babe, love you. I got nothing left. But we can raise those energy levels. So that's the first part. And the second was the mind. Same thing. What we feed and then how we exercise our minds. The way we think, our mindset, whether it's a fixed mindset or a growth mindset, and what we're constantly consuming. Unfortunately, a lot of the media we're bringing in is so negative and so toxic that we don't realize that our mind is growing on what it's fed. And so if every day I'm just kind of getting on, I'm scrolling on social media and I'm watching these kind of scary movies or dumb videos, I'm just feeding my mind these negative things, and it starts to come out in every area of my life. I start feeling more depressed. I start feeling more anxious. I'm feeding my fears. I meet men, great men and women who are deathly afraid. They're afraid of losing their health. They're afraid of losing their work. They're afraid of their future, and they're living under their fears. So we're seeing this more and more. It's really becoming prevalent now. A lot of people living under their fears. And so the first thing you do is like, okay, we're going on a media fast. We're cutting that out. We're cutting out the news, which is often negative. We're cutting out any negative videos or music, anything that's tearing you down. We're going to clean that all up because you're feeding your mind. And they'll come back within a week even. Monica, within a week, they're like, I feel so different. I'm so hopeful and vibrant and energized. My thinking is clear. I'm like, yeah, it's like what you're feeding your mind and exercising your mind. So we're reading great books every day and, you know, challenging your brain by memorizing things or learning a new language or whatever it is. But just those two principles right there can literally change the course of your life by what you feed and exercise your body and your mind.
I love it. Okay. So in a previous answer, you mentioned three things that you feel like are needed to reach your goals and be successful. The first one, a coach or an accountability partner. Talk about why that's important for success.
Well, we've all done it where you didn't want to do something, but you'd told someone to meet you there, right? Yes. The perfect example is, hey, you tell your girlfriend or your buddy, like, oh, meet me outside to run at 5. And 5 rolls around, and you're like, I am not going out there. And then you're like, oh, they're probably out there waiting for me. And it gets you out of bed and out the door. And having a coach or a trainer at the gym or somebody you know you have to give an accounting to, it just helps us be our best self. Because most of us know what we should be doing. It's just getting it done. And so when we have an accountability partner or a coach, then it holds us to the standard that we've set for ourselves. And so what I love to do, and I like to put something on the line. If I've been struggling with something, I'll tell someone and I'll put something on the line. Like, hey, if I don't do this, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $500. If it's big, I'll say, I'll give you $1,000 if I don't follow through with this, right? You can do something that pinches you, like you, Monica, right? If you're like, oh, I've been struggling to do this. I'm like, okay, you owe me $1,000 by the end of the month if you don't hit it. Are you going to do it?
Yes.
Oh man, you're going to get that done, right? Because we get something and it's so powerful and so fun. So we just have to get somebody that's going to help us to follow through. And if they have a skill set or a knowledge base in something that we're really trying to excel in, that's even more powerful because they can say, hey, good job. You did that. Here's a little tweak. Try doing it just a little bit differently. And those little tweaks, the 1% adjustments from a coach. Actually, can I tell that story real quick?
Yep.
Cycling team in the UK, and they were like the worst in the world. And it was one last shot. They were losing everything. And they hired this coach and he said, I'm just going to change everything by 1%. And they're like, no, we need to change everything. Our program stays. He's like, just trust me, 1%. So he came in and he says, I'm going to change your body weight by 1%, the bike weight by 1%, your clothing, your jersey by 1%, the aerodynamics 1%, the tires 1%. We're going to adjust your body position 1%, everything 1%. Within a very short time, they were leaving the world and winning. And I love to teach that. It's these little teeny tweaks. It's not huge things. It's the little tweaks that a coach can see and spot out in our lives that make a huge, huge difference. So if there's something in your life you know you need to work on right now that has kind of been there, get a coach.
I love that. Okay. So secondly, your community. How does your community help you succeed?
Well, because most of us, and this is the most common thing I see literally all over the world. Most of us, when we set a goal or we get excited about something, there's always somebody there. And unfortunately, it's usually family members that are like, who do you think you are? Oh, that's dumb. That's a dumb idea. Especially the bigger our goal, the more people try to tear us down. I came up with an acronym years ago called Dumb Goals. And the acronym stands for demanding, unrealistic, meaningful, and bold. We should all be setting dumb goals, those kind of big goals. But the more dumb the goal is, the more people are going to feel uncomfortable and scared, and the more they're going to criticize. And if you look at every great person who ever achieved any greatness, they had critics tearing them down. And so each of us, we need a community that is going to be there to cheer us on, to love us, to encourage us, to say, hey, you got this, we're here for you. And this group that where you feel like you're welcome, you feel like you're understood, and you feel like, you know, somebody's got my back and we can do this together. We have to have that, because nobody's going to reach greatness and success on their own. No person's an island, right? And so if you get this community now, it's just extra power. So whether it's online, whether it's local, like get around a community of people that are going somewhere.
Yes. So good. Challenge. You mentioned this a little bit before, but how can a good challenge help us reach success?
Here's a perfect example. I have a coaching client, super successful, awesome guy. He's like, oh, I've been telling myself I need to get back in running shape. And he was a phenomenal runner back in the day. And he kind of let it go a little bit. He's like, I got to run. And I was like, hey, well, you know what that means, right? You need a challenge. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll get to it. I'm like, no. Like, you need a challenge and you need it soon. And he starts to squirm, right? Oh. And I'm like, what's your challenge? He's like, okay, I'll start with a 5K, then a 10K, maybe get up to like a half marathon. I said, okay, then you need to push yourself. What's the date? And he's like, January. And it's like, is that soon enough? He's like, oh, and I'm like, find a race, right? And so he had to sign up and pay for it. And it was January 1. And he lives up in Ohio, which is freezing cold on January 1st. And I just was texting with him this morning. I said, how'd your race go? And he's like, it was so triumphant, because on January 1st, I got out there and I ran my first 5K in the cold. Nothing stopped me. And he's like, it's back to what we were talking about earlier about making and keeping commitments, right? He's like, I was out running in the cold early in the morning, even though I didn't want to, because I'm making a commitment and I had paid for a race and I knew the race was coming. The challenge of it in front of me forced me to follow through. And that's what made the difference. So that's a perfect example. So find a race to sign up for, put a deadline out there, just get something that will challenge you. Not too much, not too hard, but enough where it stretches you and pushes.
So good. Way to bring it around. All right. I'm going to ask you my two signature questions. First one, I didn't give you. So the first one is, when your children are describing their dad, what is something that you hope that they will take away from your life?
Oh, that's such a powerful and important question. And I've actually been thinking about that since I was 16 on that Christmas Eve night without a dad. I've been thinking about that I want my kids, and they know this, to know that I'm there for them. Whenever they need me, I'm available, and that I was pursuing my potential with them, not without them, not at their expense, but I was pursuing my potential. And I'm always pushing myself. I'm really driven. So I'm always going after my goals. And I love it, Monica, because my kids are watching, and your kids are watching. All of you listening, your kids are watching you, and we want them to be happy. Guess what? They want us to be happy, and we want them to hit goals. And the best way for our kids to go after their goals is to model it for them. My kids see me chasing down big goals all the time. They see me fail, and they see me get back up and keep going. And I want them to see that. Like, my dad was going after it. He was always trying to be his very best self with them. And that's why we have the extraordinary family life formula. We're doing it as a group together.
So good. All right. Now, if you had the undivided attention of everyone in the world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing you could teach them about achieving the level of success they are seeking?
I think we've already talked about it. I would just say, get really clear about what it means to you, what success really means. Like, get crystal clear. Most of us are too vague and too general. We'll say things, well, I want to be better and I want to have a better life, but we don't know exactly what that means. And so the target's too fuzzy. It's blurry. It's out of focus. So I get crystal clear on your target. Know exactly what it is you want to achieve, and then rewrite your goal every single morning.
Bam. All right. So I know that you can be found in lots and lots of different places. So talk to us about where we can find and get more great information from you. I know you have a podcast and websites and several Instagram accounts. Tell us the best places to find you.
It's funny you mention all this. Like, I'm really doing it. My sincerest desire is to help people become their best selves, to really go after and reach their potential. I love this. So I'm doing as many things I can to help people set themselves free and their families free. Oh, it's so awesome. So I have a podcast. It's called the Extraordinary Family Life Podcast, and just incredible stories from our life and adventures around the world and all the things I've learned and read and studied over the last couple of decades. GregDenning.com is mostly where I have coaching resources. We do one-on-one high performance coaching for high achieving parents. And we have ExraordinaryFamilyLife.com, where we got all kinds of courses and classes and resources for every part of the family life formula to level up our lives. And then here's a fun kind of crazy one that only a few people know about. We have a site called World School Academy, and we actually take massive life-changing adventures around the world. And we take people places like a couple's trip to Thailand. We led a couple's trip on the Inca Trail. We rode one into Morocco and rode in the Sahara Desert. We're leading a trip to China to study martial arts this year, and another one into Mongolia, leading a humanitarian trip into Guatemala. And then I'm really excited about this one. We're going to lead a group up to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa in October of this year. And so we're just doing these life-changing adventures where people can come with us and literally have these experiences that change the way you do life. It's so fun.
Okay, well, I'm definitely checking out the humanitarian trip to Guatemala, because that, you just hit all of my, that's the goal of mine. So very good. Thank you so, so much for your time and all of your wisdom, everything, all the good you're putting out into the world. I appreciate it more than you know, and I know the listeners will too. So thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you.
I hope that you guys enjoyed that interview as much as I did. I just think Greg is such a great guy, and I love the energy with which he puts so many wonderful things out into the world and coaches people to success and teaches them about having an extraordinary family life. I just think that he lives what he teaches and really does a fantastic job of putting goodness out into the world. I loved his stories, especially the one about the people on their deathbed and what they wished they had done differently in their lives. And I just really do not want to be one of those people with any regrets. I want to live life to the fullest, and I am so excited about the simple advice to write down your goal every single morning. I hope that you guys will do that, and I will do it right along with you. And let's see if we can slay our biggest goals this year. One of my biggest goals is to get my message out to more people and to help empower women to ask for what they want and what they need and enjoy greater and more complete intimacy, a deeper connection, and more love in their relationships. So I'm really excited about the 14-day complete intimacy challenge that started today. Now, if you did not get into the challenge this time, don't worry. We will do it again next month. Just make sure that you are listening for when we open it up. We will only open it up once a month, but it is an incredible challenge. And just like Greg said, you need a coach, which will be Cammie and I for this challenge. You need a community, which we are creating, of incredible women who are cheering you on, and a challenge, which is what the challenge is. This was the perfect episode to validate what we are doing and that it will in fact work. So make sure you keep your ears open for the next 14-day complete intimacy challenge with Cammie Hurst and I as your coaches. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and make sure you listen next week for another fantastic interview with somebody great. I'm not sure who it will be yet, but I promise it will deliver value just like every one of these incredible guests have done. And until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.